On a warm, sunny day, I visit the New England Aquarium to meet up with author Cy Montgomery, who has a new best friend. Now, Cy Montgomery, you've written a lot about really smart animals. In fact, you had one live with you. His name was Christopher Hogwood. He was a pig. And then when you went to the Amazon, you met these pink dolphins. I think maybe you fell in love with one of these pink dolphins, too.
Oh, I think I fell in love with all of the pink dolphins, Steve.
And, of course, there are the golden moon bears that you track down in Southeast Asia, all very smart. And today we're at the New England Aquarium to meet another very smart animal, you tell us. And that would be a...
a giant Pacific octopus.
Octopus? Just one, though.
Yes. The problem is, if you put two together, they tend to eat each other.
Oh. In more than one octopus, is this... do you say octopuses or octopi or octopi? What do?
Unfortunately, it's now octopuses. It's because the plural octopi didn't go with the origin of the word octopus, so it's supposed to be octopuses.
Huh. So who are we going to meet today, Cy?
We are going to meet a giant Pacific octopus named Octavia.
Octavia. And this isn't, of course, your first time encountering these animals.
Well, no, I got to know Octavia's predecessor, whose name was Athena. I visited her three times. Athena, when we first met, was the most amazing thing. She came boiling up from her exhibit. Her arms started coming out, and I plunged my arms into the 57-degree water, which is actually very cold. And immediately, we were just embracing each other. Her suckers were all over me. I was petting her beautiful head, and I noticed that her skin would turn light-colored right underneath my touch.
No way.
And I knew that that's the sign of a contented octopus. An unhappy, angry octopus turns red and gets all pimply. But she was showing her contentment and letting me touch her head. And after the encounter, which went on for a while, I was told by the wonderful folks at the New England Aquarium, they said, this is very unusual for an octopus to let someone, a stranger like you, touch her head. So we had an immediate bond. But I just met Octavia last Friday. And just from my short encounter with her, I can tell you she's very, very different from her predecessor, who was very different from her predecessor, who was different from his predecessor. They all are quite distinctive, just like we are, which is so surprising. These are, I think, the most surprising creatures, because unlike us, you know, they're completely without any bones. They're so unrelated to us in any way, and yet you can have a meaningful interaction with them. And that just blows my mind. I think you're going to love this.
Okay, well, then let's go inside.
Great.
We head inside the aquarium, past the information desk and up some stairs. We go behind the labyrinth of exhibits and into a room full of tanks. This is a favorite place of staff biologist Bill Murphy. So, Bill Murphy, this is your tank. This is your octopus. This is your world here.
Yes, it is. Come on back. This is the octopus tank, right over here with the lid on it.
Now, let's see. Scientifically, this is known as a cephalopod, in other
yes.
words, a head and foot
yes.
type thing?
Correct.
But there are no bones in this. It's completely invertebrate, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The only hard part of it is its beak.
Uh-huh. Which is kind of like what?
It's kind of like a parrot's beak.
Yeah? So what's really unusual, though, about octopuses, aside from the fact they have eight arms, which we don't, and the fact that they don't have any bones, and we do... they're smart, though, like us, I'm told.
Yes. They are very intelligent, and they're also very curious, which also leads to, I would say, partly their intelligence.
So just how smart is an octopus?
Well, they can open lock boxes, which we do here at the aquarium. They can open pill bottles. They can turn valves. They can turn knobs. They can crawl through tubes to get to food. If they see food on the other side of the tank, they'll try and go towards it. There's been experience that I've heard about where if an octopus knows how to do a puzzle and open the box before, and another octopus is right next to it does not, the other octopus will actually watch the one octopus knows how to do it, open it, and then learn it immediately. So they can observe and then learn.
Now, if the two octopuses are together observing, but what about the risk of getting eaten by the other octopus?
They were separated. They're in different tanks. So one, they could see each other, but they couldn't get to each other.
Okay.
Sai, you told me that octopuses don't really get along with each other very well.
Yeah, that's kind of too bad. I mean, it's one reason why I don't think any aquarium has yet bred them in captivity, because they tend to eat each other.
Yeah, what is this about octopuses not liking each other?
I think it's just more of also the aggressiveness of their attitude. When you're living on your own and fighting survive, adding another octopus in there competing for the same source is also not a good thing.
Okay, so then how do they reproduce if they don't get along?
That comes at that time in their life. They reach a life cycle when they're ready for reproduce. The females are ready to lay eggs and mate. The males have reached their maturity and they're ready to mate and then move on. And the male still has to appease the female. He still has to do his dance and she still has to accept him for them to mate and then for them to move on. And then she'll lay her eggs and spend the rest of her life energy making sure those eggs stay safe and protected and hatch.
So she doesn't live long after she lays eggs.
Correct. So once they lay eggs once, that's it for them.
So an octopus will have how many young?
Thousands. They lay strands of eggs that look like grains of rice, and they'll have probably easily 1,000 eggs, if not more. And most of them will hatch, but it's also the law of the wild. You lay a lot, reap and produce a lot of offspring, but only a few will survive due to predators and food.
How would you describe how Octavia differs from all the others, since everyone's an individual?
She's a little more picky. She came to us probably a little bit older than what we normally get our octopuses, because the one before her, Athena, died unexpectedly. So we got one from the wild from a collector that we talked to a lot. So she's straight from the wild and a little bit larger and more used to the wild nature than other ones are.
How much do you think she weighs and how big do you think she is?
She's probably about 40 pounds, and if you stand her up, she's probably about 4.5 feet.
Oh, wow. 4.5 feet.
So yes. She still has another year and a half, I'd say, to grow.
Ah. And Bill, I guess you're the one really to take us to meet her. Anything I should say or do?
Roll up your sleeves, take off your watch, run over this way. Our volunteer Wilson. He's been with us for many years.
Oh, her beautiful arm is out.
And there she is.
Oh, can I touch her?
Go for it.
Oh, man, stick your hand up here. I've got 3 arms on me.
Uh-oh, and she's grabbing a hold here.
Do you feel the suckers?
Yeah, feel the suckers.
She's tasting you with these as well as feeling you.
She can control each one of these suckers individually.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at the beauty.
Now, this color she is right now, she's very red. Does that mean she's happy?
You tell me.
Red is very normal, and they kind of stay this way. And they kind of get more flashes of darker reds and whites when they're aggressive.
Look, there's the beak.
Uh-huh.
Right where all of her arms come together.
Oh, yeah.
That's where her mouth is.
Uh-huh.
Firm their arms are.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing, that's just all muscle. That's how solid it feels, like a steel cable, but it's just muscle. Shows you how strong they can be.
Great. Her tentacles are coming just as fast as you can take them off.
Now, give me a fish.
Now, watch this. Here comes the fish. Oop. She's holding it with her sucker, and what she'll do is she'll pass it, if she wants to eat it, she'll pass it from sucker to sucker to sucker as it goes into her mouth, but she may just want to play with it or not want to do anything with it. Right now, she seems more interested in interacting with us than even eating the caveman.
She's coming out.
She's coming out of her exhibit.
She knows where the food comes from, so she's grabbing the food bowl and trying to take it.
But she's not even hungry. She's just doing it for fun, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
This is so different from the first encounter that I had with her.
So here's a creature that's smart, sentient, and looks nothing at all like us.
In fact, you know, when she touches you with those suckers, she is knowing your skin and probably your bones and probably your blood and your muscle in a way that no other animal will ever know you. That's what she's knowing. when she touches you. And look how white she's going now, right under my touch. So she feels very calm. Very calm. I feel calm, too.
So I guess our time is up with Octavia.
Was that the greatest thing ever?
Now my hand's frozen too.
Oh boy, you know, I did not even notice how cold it was.
Wow. So if an octopus is this smart, what other animals that are out there could be this smart that we don't think of as being sentient and having personality and memory and all these things?
It's a very good question. The ocean is a very undiscovered world, and there's a lot of animals out there we don't even know about. There's a lot of animals we don't know. We know they're there, but they don't know anything about them. Who knows what else is actually out there for the ocean?
Bill Murphy from the New England Aquarium, Cy Montgomery, thank you both for being with me today. And Octavia, will you say something? I guess she's taking a nap after having lunch. Thank you both.
No problem. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
That was writer Cy Montgomery, and we also heard from New England Aquarium marine biologist Bill Murphy, volunteer Wilson Menashe, and of course, Octavia the octopus. Cy Montgomery's article, Deep Intellect, Inside the Mind of the Octopus, was published in Orion Magazine. You can grab some links and photos on our website, loe.org. Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Belinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, and Jeff Young, with help from Gabriella Romano and Sammy Souza. Our interns are Annabelle Ford and Annie Sneed. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org and check out our Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield invites you to just eat organic for a day. Details at justeatorganic.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Go Forward Fund, and Pax World Mutual and Exchange Traded Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. On the web at PaxWorld.com. PaxWorld, for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.